So, Thomas, just listening back to last week's episode before this podcast, you mentioned quite clearly in that podcast that you're not going to buy any new games. How's that working out for you?
I meant any new games. Not any games. Any new games.
New games. On Tom, I'm out of time. Yeah, explain yourself with this loophole of new games.
Well, anything, new releases, I mean to say.
Okay.
So I haven't picked up Woolly World, and I haven't picked up that new Kirby game, which I forget the title of now.
Yeah, you've bought copies of Lemmings for systems you don't play games on instead.
Is it starting to get old?
Maybe, a little bit.
Every week. How have you been?
I'm not too bad.
We haven't done this for a week.
We haven't. I have to apologise for that. It was due to my backwards planning of saying, yeah, we need to do it early. But to Tom, that meant early on a Sunday where we usually record this. And I just didn't have time to follow it up and go, no, I meant earlier in the week.
I think that was the last time. That wasn't this last time. That was the time, another time.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That we got our wires crossed.
Yes. Well, anyway,
Time you were just in London.
I was in London and I apologise for there being no podcast because it was on me. I went to meet people I played games with several years ago that I'd never actually met, despite knowing them for 14 years of my life. Mm. That was very interesting. We all got on very well.
Yeah, do you all still like games?
Yes, we do. One of the people works for Frontier, who are the people who developed Elite Dangerous. One of them is an artist who lives in Denmark, and the other one works in an IT company in Denmark.
Lost Winds, Frontier as well.
Yes, it was. Connect Animals as well. Oh, yeah. Before that, I believe he previously worked at Blitz Games.
Oh,
The UK institution that once was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was good. Did a little bit of gaming on the plane. I played some Tetris, as I do on my travels. I tend to travel with an SP.
Every time?
Well, I tend to take my SP and a copy of Tetris with me.
Wherever you go.
I'm just like, well, A, you can keep playing Tetris, and I'm starting to get okay at Tetris now. But I've got like four copies of it in the spare pile. So I'm like, oh, well, if my SP gets nicked and my copy of Tetris goes with it, it's not a huge loss. So...
Yeah, well, I have Tetris on my mobile phone, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
It's a free version of Tetris you can get on the phone.
Yeah? Is it like, you've died four times, wait an hour or pay to play more Tetris?
It's not.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very playable.
Are there ads?
Not that I can remember.
They're like, things pop up between matches of Tetris going like, hey, play Angry Birds. Or, you know, like...
Maybe, but it's not distracting. Which,
okay, fair enough.
It's pretty cool. So, yeah, you've been busy, been jet setting, only had time to play Tetris.
Well, yeah, that was pretty much last week, to be honest. Like, I got a few games. Should we just go into our wonderful trip to Copenhagen last Friday?
A wonderful trip to Copenhagen. Yes, last Friday we went to Copenhagen. Very cool, you know. We like going to Copenhagen.
We do. It's a capital city, don't you know?
Not that... I've been there many times, to be honest.
I've been there several times. I hadn't visited all of the shops we frequented because I've wanted to go to the one shop that we ended up buying some video games in for quite a while. And any time I've gone to Copenhagen, it's either been closed or I haven't had time to go to this particular place.
Mm.
It's a bit of a shame. But we finally got to go there. The store in question is called Ruben or Bobby, which means Ruben and Bobby. Quite famous. There is a whole internet documentary about it and about how this is essentially a hairdresser's that accepts video games and toys in exchange for haircuts in the same way that you trade in video games for video games in, say, a games retailer such as a GameStop. They accept toys and video games as a form of currency. Not that we actually got haircuts there. We went there purely for the games, no haircuts.
Also, yeah, I heard if you know that you can play a game while you're having your haircut, and if you beat the high score, then you get the haircut.
For free, yes.
So that's another way you can do it.
Yes, yeah. You can. There is a plethora of consoles, Soul consoles there that I'd never seen in a physical store, such as a boxed Famicom.
It was really nice place to shop.
Yes, it was.
And reasonably priced as well.
Very reasonably priced.
It was all over the place. Really all over the place, which was great.
It was. It was a store you had to rummage around. It kind of reminded me of being on an episode of Game Chasers, because you needed to go around, you needed to look in boxes, and you're like, oh, I found some in you. Yeah, it was great. Like, interestingly enough, Bobby, the guy who owns it now, wasn't there. I found out what happened to Ruben. Mm. He works at the IT company that my friend does, who I met on the weekend, so it was a bit of a weird coincidence. He said, like, oh, you've been in Copenhagen. You went to Ruben and Bobby. Oh, I know that guy.
Small world.
It is a small world. What did you pick up, Thomas?
What did I pick up?
In that particular shop.
Okay, so I gravitated towards... Well, what did I gravitate towards, to be honest, really?
You gravitated towards more Super Nintendo and Mega Drive games, from what
I remember. Yeah, no, I was looking through Super Nintendo games, and I found World Heroes, Primal Raid, UN Squadron. Actually, you helped me.
I did.
Because I'd been through these once, and then I went back to them.
Yeah, and you were like, oh, there's nothing in there.
And you were like, look at this. There's
UN
Squadron.
UN Squadron?
So, oh, yeah. I wanted that. Yeah. Primal Raid. How about World Heroes? And at the prices, I couldn't argue. They were 50... Actually, these didn't have any prices on, but when I went up to get them priced... they were either 50 kroner or 60 kroner.
Yes. In fact, Primal Rage being the more expensive.
Primal Rage. I don't know why, because it was an NTSC.
I guess so, 60
car.
Hertz. Some people are quite snobbish about the 50 hertz PAL frame rate.
Well, in the back, a lot of Mass System games.
There was a lot of Mass
System games. I
didn't buy
any, but I did see a copy of Sonic Spinball for the Mass System. I was like, I've never seen that before. They wanted 400 kroner for it.
It's quite a rare game.
I found out as I went on eBay... and found out that, yes, it is very rare.
How much would it have cost you to buy it on eBay?
I think a little bit more. It was a little bit underpriced at Ruben and Bobby.
Yes.
As you found across everywhere.
I definitely did.
Because I think pretty much everything was half the price of what you'd expect to pay on eBay. Anything
if
I bought,
not
at
more.
Least. I also picked up Clay Fighter for the Mega Drive, which goes for about a tenner again on eBay.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's rare in some territories. I hear this thing going on, it's rare. I don't see it as rare when I look at it online, but...
No.
Retro Collect lists it as rare.
Well, it can still be rare and still readily affordable, you know? Yeah. Like.
Also, Garfield Caught in the Act on the Mega Drive, which was 80 kroner.
Yes.
That's around about £8.
Just under, actually.
Oh, really? Under?
Yeah, the krone... is 11 to the pound now.
Oh, okay.
So
if a quick look on eBay here, and box copies are selling for just under £20.
Yeah.
Actually, for that.
It's a pretty decent saving then.
Yeah. 25 some people are asking for it as well. So, yeah, that was cool. I just picked up one Game Boy game. Now, Game Boy is not a system that I buy for, but when it's a Lemmings game.
Surprise, surprise.
I don't have Lemmings Two Tribes
no,
on
you do.
Game Boy.
You actually said before you went there, because I was like, oh, are you going to buy anything? You're like, oh, I don't know. Maybe if they got a copy of Lemmings Two Tribes for the Game Boy. Chortle.
Through the Game Boy games.
And it was like the first thing that came into my hand, pretty much. It was like 3 games back.
It was 50 kroner.
Reasonable price. Less than I paid for my copy.
Yeah, it seems about £8 on eBay for a Game Boy. Yeah, it is unboxed. We're talking mostly unboxed. Clay Fighter and Garfield were boxed, the Mega Drive games, which is all good. So that was my little haul. What about yourself, Matthew?
Well, I didn't really spend as much in there as I thought I was going to. I got a stack of manuals for 100 kroner, which was kind of nice. Always on the lookout for manuals. Kind of like the guns to Star Wars figures, you know? It's all these things that are always nice to have when you're just like, what the fuck do I do here? Scratch his head. And then you pick up the manual and it's like, oh yeah, to use this item, you need to press select down and right. And so it's always good to have stuff like that. It was for things like Super Metroid, because I have the Scandinavian manual, but alas, I don't speak any of the Scandinavian.
Super Metroid?
Not Super Metroid, sorry. Metroid 2 Return of Samus. Thank you for correcting me on that. Okay. I have the manual Scandinavian, but again, I don't speak any Scandinavian languages, unfortunately. I could read a bit of Danish, but that's about it. So I got that in English because the artwork's very nice. I got Bionic Commando, which is a game I still haven't done on Biographic, and the control scheme of the grappling kind of confuses me because I've never played a Bionic Commando game.
On the NES. Not NES, sorry. On the Game Boy, of course.
Yeah, well, the sequel to the original on the NES.
I'm thinking that because I've got the NES one.
And there's a few other bits and bobs as well. Like, I got the manual to True Lies and a few other games. Nothing really too exciting, like Wave Race and stuff. Picked up two box games, which are the Ottofants, which is a German-only release, which is 30 kroner, which, you know, you can't sniff at a 30 kroner Game Boy game. So I was like, I'll have that boxed. And I also got a copy of Play Action Football, which is an American football game. Surprise, surprise. Mm. And that was a whopping 40 kroner. So I was like, nice. That was complete in box. The Ottofants was missing its manual, but still, it's always good. Then I picked up a few Japanese titles. A game based on Voltron, I believe, or something of that ilk. It was a robot fighting game with big giant robots that combined. I'm not sure which one it is, to be honest. There's so many of that ilk in the 80s that I'm not too sure. Got a copy of Lunar Lander, the classic arcade game, which I can't figure out how to play. I'm going to be honest. We were sat on the train for a while trying to figure out how that game worked, and it involves launching a rocket to start with, but I couldn't quite figure out how to do it, so I need to look that up online. Got a copy of Game Boy Wars, which is the precursor to Advance Wars, but actually
it's got
the
a
sequel
nice cover,
to Famicom
it?
Wars. Yeah, it is. It's very cool. It also comes in a little tin in Japan, certain versions of it, which is kind of nice. And then the bargain of the entire trip for me was a copy of Sagaya, a spare cart of that, which cost me 70 kroner for a game that goes on eBay for around 50 quid, around that mark most of the time. So I was pretty happy with that. I also picked up a Virtual Boy game because, hey, you never see Virtual Boy games anywhere, or at least I don't.
Yeah, that's peculiar to see that there.
And it was 20 kroner for Red Alarm, which admittedly is the most migraine-inducing Virtual Boy title, but for 20 kroner, fuck it, I'll give it a go when
but
I
now
bring
you have
my Virtual
Boy
over. Yeah. They did have one or two other titles for the Virtual Boy as well, but they were like 160 kroner. Mm. I'm still kind of kicking myself that I didn't pick up a copy of Flicky? Is that what it's called? The game on the
Flicky.
Mega Drive?
Yes.
Because they had that 50 kroner as well, and I should have bought it, but never mind. Next time, maybe, if it's still there. Yeah, pretty all, much all in all, really nice trip.
I wish all video game shops were like that.
Yeah, so do I.
Which are more of them about as well.
Yeah, tell me about it.
You could also play the games freely if you wanted to try them. They had several systems set up. They had arcade cabinets and pinball machines. And
which is always nice.
Yeah, I guess you spend a lot of time just hanging out there.
I think you could.
Like a social club.
I think the people there were nice enough as well that they would probably let you hang out and play things. It was like arcade systems as well that you could. There was a sign on them saying like, hey, if you want us to turn this on, we can turn it on so you can play it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all in all, pretty nice trip.
Really liked
that place.
Try and visit the place. It's a little bit off the beaten track.
It is.
It takes a while to get there. I remember our first attempt, we never...
Oh, God.
We got there and it was closed.
The first time we went there, it was actually shut because they open on alternate Saturdays. So before you go there, make sure they are open. Maybe give them a ring in advance just to check these things because their Facebook may tell you a fib about it being open when it's actually not. Yeah, and
really great.
But great shop, definitely worth a visit.
I can see why people enjoy the hunting in shops for retro games as opposed to whittling away their time on eBay.
This is why I buy retro games, because for me it was the pastime of going places on a Saturday, much like it still is with flea markets. Not that I'm having much luck this year. But it's about finding the bargain. It's about going there. It's about getting the physical item in your hand and going like, oh, they have this, rather than just going on eBay. It's why I set myself the 50-game challenge for the final 50 Game Boy games I need, because if I just go, okay, I need 50 eBay games, you know, just go on there. Bye.
Do you use eBay a lot?
I try not to. I bought two copies off Amazon recently, and I bought one off eBay because I know there's no chance in hell I'm going to come across a copy of Pinball Mania, I think it's called. It's in the same spirit as Pinball Fantasies and Pinball Deluxe and that kind of stuff on the Game Boy.
It's a pinball game.
Yeah, they're the same people who made all the pinball games for like the Amiga and stuff, but they released an obscure one called Pinball Mania, which is, in my eyes, probably the rarest of the pinball games, and probably one of the rarest on the system. I've never seen it in the flesh.
Okay.
It just happened one, because I've been watching it on eBay for a long time, the term, and then one finally came up with a buy it now price of £8. And I said, I'm having that.
eBay. Well, I found a game on eBay recently, which never comes up.
Yeah.
It's Lemmings on the 3DO, the American copy
of it. Oh, shit. You actually bought a 3DO copy of Lemmings?
Yeah. And I've never, if you go on Google Image Search and try and find actual pictures of physical box, I had trouble. So when I saw it on eBay, I'm afraid I
how much did you pay?
Drum roll. This is my second most expensive video game I've ever bought after
Conker's Bad Fur Day. Okay, so not as much as I thought you were going to say then.
£49.40
for a 3DO game
from the States.
Okay.
Big box game. 3DO game. Nice cover. That's what
3DO games came in a big box?
Some did, yeah.
Oh, okay. Is it different artwork to any of the other Lemmings varieties, or is it just the Lemming looking with his hand?
No, it's different artwork, actually. It's similar to the Mac version of Lemmings cover.
Yeah.
Slightly different.
Okay.
That's the Japanese cover I have on the screen.
Yeah.
At the moment. Yeah.
But the American one's different.
The American one's different. It's bigger. You see more. Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to hear what else I'm picking up lately?
Yes, go for it.
Okay, so you say you've not been on eBay much. I'm the opposite.
I can see you have a giant list, which is why I had to poke fun at you at the start of this podcast.
It's slightly starting to concern me. Most of it is because of the worms and lemmings collecting thing that I've been doing just lately.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed collecting the games. I'm really excited about going back to the UK and seeing this collection that I've amassed and have yet to actually enjoy and play. But yeah, it's a little bit like, I'm kind of glad I've come pretty much to the end of it now.
How many do you have left to get? Like, how many physical versions of Lemmings and of worms are there left?
I've got several rules here.
Yeah, I know you're not buying double ups of, like, if it's a big box, you're not going to buy... Oh, you have, haven't
well,
you?
Well, no.
Your face just changed and told me everything, Tom.
There's some games, some Worms games I've bought on several formats, and they're essentially the same game, which is Worms World Party on the Dreamcast and the PlayStation and the PC. They're all essentially... the advanced one's different.
But I mean, like, at least with like PC and Amiga, you're not really differentiating the big boxes there, are you?
I have two copies of Worms, original Worms, PC and Amiga one.
Okay.
Exactly the same box. That was only because I've got Worms Reinforcements. So it doesn't work without the original Worms for PC.
Okay.
Yeah, I already have Worms United, which is a compilation of Worms Reinforcements and Worms.
Okay.
So it gets a little bit complicated there, but my general rule is I'll try not to double up on games which have the same cover art.
Yes.
Apart from the original Lemmings, and Worms.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bit messy here. Anyway, I'll just talk about what I've bought recently. I bought a promo copy of Worms Open Warfare 2 for the PSP.
Right.
Cost me a tenner. I have this game on the DS. I don't have a PSP version. It was slightly collectible because it was a promo.
Promo, yeah.
This is bad, isn't it? Worms Collection for PS3. This is a compilation of three of the digital titles. Worms,
which
Worms
you already
2,
own
Armageddon.
Digitally?
Yes. And I don't own Worms for Mayhem on the PS3. I have it on the Xbox digitally.
Okay.
But now I have a physical copy of all these digital Worms games. And it's a promo copy. It cost me £10. I think it's a nice thing to have. Lemmings games. I've got back on the Lemmings bandwagon. I said they got 3DO game. I also got All New World of Lemmings for the PC.
A whole new world.
Which is a slightly... It's one of those... There's several of these games I've been holding off. I couldn't get 3DO one because I never saw it. But All New World of Lemmings, there's not many copies on eBay and it's usually quite expensive.
Yeah.
It cost me £30. This is one of the heavy hitters. But I had to get it
because
it's a unique Lemmings game. And I think that's good. That's going right for it as far as I can tell. So I just bought it, and it's the same with Christmas lemmings. That was £20.
93 or 94, Tom.
Okay, so this was the first one, which is Christmas lemmings 93. £20 for the Amiga. Lovely box.
Yeah.
I'd actually forgotten about Christmas lemmings, so I just have it on a floppy.
Yes.
A demo came with the Amiga format magazine, I think.
You didn't copy that floppy, right?
Oh, no. Of
That's good.
Not. Of course not. So... picked up Christmas Lemmings, and then, of course, I realised there was another Christmas Lemmings, which was a further 32 levels. And in fact, if I'd have really thought about it, I could have just bought Christmas Lemmings 94, because it contains all 32 that are in the original Christmas
Lemmings. But does it have a different big box?
But it has a different box.
Of course it does.
God damn it. And this was my second most expensive purchase lately, at £35.52 for Christmas
Do you have
Lemmings.
The means to play any of these games?
Yes. I have an Amiga 500.
Okay.
I can play all
these
games.
They're both on the Amiga 500.
Ooh.
Okay, then you have one year on it. But
yeah.
Cool. Okay.
So that is the Worms and Lemmings games. Them out of the way.
Okay.
I seem to be buying Clay Fighter games since I bought Clay Fighter on the Mega Drive.
But why? It's not really good.
I really enjoyed playing Clay Fighter on Mega Drive, actually.
Okay. Did you get the sequel that's got, like, Judgment Clay?
Yes, I bought C2 Judgment Clay.
It's the best Super Nintendo name in the world. It's got nothing to do with Terminator. But, oh, God, that's such a good title.
This is a bit more the pricey side. Just a cart for £15.
Okay, that's not too bad.
I also picked Clay Fighter 63 and a third for £5.25.
I thought I gave you a copy of that.
No. You still have a copy of that.
Do I?
Yes.
You didn't
give it to me. Anyway, it only costs £5.
I would have given you my copy. I was sure I'd given that to you. Sorry.
I think that was a bargain for that price. Usually go for a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that game either. I remember reading N64 magazine.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
I think these Clay Fighter games are sort of on some standard. I've played far worse fighters. For example...
Brutal Paws of Fury.
Balls isn't so good either.
Yeah. Ballsy, literally. That's what it says on the tin.
But it was, you know, it's kind of cool, the visual style, but yeah. it has to be playable as well, which Balls sadly isn't quite. Laser Lords for the CDI. This was one of the CDI games I still had left to get that I wanted.
Yeah.
Like the only one. So I picked up, like, I thought, gotta get Laser Lords. I found it.
Laser Lords?
For £6.49. All these prices are including postage, by the way.
Yeah.
I bought World Heroes, didn't I? So I had to buy World Heroes 2. When I saw it in a lot for £10.99, World Heroes 2 and one of the Ranma Half fighting games.
These Super Famicom titles, then?
Well, the Ranma Half one was. The World Heroes was NTSC.
Oh, okay.
World Heroes 2. And the price, you know, just over £5 each.
Yeah.
I thought, this is Ruben and Bobby prices.
Yeah.
Gotta...
This isn't anything to do with World Jet Heroes, is it? The SNK fighter.
Yeah, World Heroes 2 Jet is the one after World Heroes 2.
Ah, I see. Yes. Okay. Well, you had a really good deal there, then. I would imagine that's quite a pricey cart.
I don't know. I didn't get Jet. I got World Heroes 2.
Yeah, but I mean, like, World Heroes surely is like a PAL fighting game. That must be.
Well, that's
pretty NTSC penny.
World Heroes.
No,
2.
No. Oh, but I mean, the first
World
one.
Heroes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that goes for more on eBay. Twice as much, I'd say.
Okay.
About a tenner. What else? Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance for the GameCube. Funny story, this is a game I used to own.
Yeah.
And I sold it for some reason. Because I only need one version of Mortal Kombat. I've got the that kind of trilogy that was released on that generation of consoles.
Yeah.
Because there was Deception, there was Armageddon.
I hate to pull you up on things that you said in the last podcast, but as he sips his tea.
What? I'm not buying any more games.
I'm not really interested in fighting games anymore. I'm kind of getting a bit bored of them, he says as he buys seven fighting games.
I think I said Japanese fighting games, actually.
Yeah, World Heroes 2?
That is, but it's old.
Oh, come on.
I was being a little bit more specific.
Come on.
Recent ones.
Yeah,
which
sure.
We've kind of reached the point of perfection with the look of these recent.
I believe your argument was because they all played the same.
Yeah, all these recent Japanesey ones. Now,
all of the old Japanese ones are the same.
Yeah, but they're better. Because they're more like
okay.
Street Fighter.
Right.
Okay, so Mortal Kombat, going back, this had a great character which would puke on the floor and you slipped on the puke, if I remember.
Okay.
So I picked it back up again for £5.99. Happy to have that in my GameCube collection again.
I'm sure you are.
We're getting quite near the end of this list now. I think you'll be pleased to know, Matthew. I'm just a little bit lost. Oh, I bought an N-Gauge.
Yeah, of course you did. Yeah. While you're hitting these things at the height of their popularity, you're buying it. You're not buying new things, but you're buying N-Gauge.
N-Gauge, because I own
for the cost
N-Gauge.
Of Woolly World, no fucking less.
No, £27.80.
You can buy Woolly World for £27.99 on Amazon.
Anyway,
and 19 pence more could have got you Woolly World.
Anyway, I couldn't play my 3 N-Gauge games without an N-Gauge.
And you're not going to, because they're fucking terrible.
Well, actually,
as someone who pretty much exclusively collects handheld systems now, I can guarantee you we will get no joy out of those N-Gauge games.
I know that the Sonic N is Sonic Advance.
Yes.
And I know that Monkey Ball is probably Monkey Ball Jr., I'm guessing, the Game Boy Advance.
Yes.
I'm quite intrigued to play Worms World Party, because I don't think it's identical to the Game Boy Advance version of it.
It's probably like an early phone game.
We shall see. I will let you know when
I
come back
ass.
After summer and tell you all about that. Okay.
Are you going to use it as a phone as well?
Why not?
Go for it.
Let's have a bit of fun with it. I picked up just a few off. Eastox is a great eBay store because everything's really cheap there.
Okay.
And it's usually good condition. Sonic Mega Collection for the Xbox.
Yeah.
Because I don't have any Sonic games on Xbox, I was thinking. I was like,
Jesus Christ, Tom.
Get that for Xbox. £3.88.
Oh, dear, Tom.
Mario Party 8 for the Wii for £8. Now, I regretted not picking this up in Ruben and Bobby. You may remember.
Yes.
I showed you a copy and said, is that good for Mario Party 8? And it's about £8.
Yeah. And I said, yeah, from my recollection.
And I didn't pick it up. And when I saw it for that same price, I was like, well, better get it then. Lego Rock Band, a game I've been wanting to pick up for quite some time. £3.98.
For the Wii?
For the Wii.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, because I have an Xbox 360 copy somewhere, that I've never played.
I need to buy these for a Wii, because that's the console.
The console you have all the instruments for, yeah.
And finally, Sonic Unleashed for the 360, which is one of the Sonic games I don't have. £7.48.
Sonic Unleashed is the one with the hedgehogs.
Yeah.
I bought that game at launch, because it was a budget title.
The I know the Xbox version is better than the PS2. I used to have the PS2 version, but sold it.
Yeah.
They're slightly different games.
I would imagine the PS2 one is probably more pricey now.
No, I could buy it for £4 if I want.
Oh, okay. I've never seen it, so I just assumed.
Yeah, it was a very late PS2 release.
Yes, it must have been.
Yeah. It was also released on the Wii as well. But I refrained from picking up a couple of games, like Sonic Riders Zero Gravity, which I thought about for a moment. And I also thought about Sonic and the Black Knight. And I thought, no, I don't want to.
Sonic and the Black Knight is actually a game I'm quite curious about.
I'm curious. I did watch a little video review on YouTube. And the guy reviewing it was saying, yeah, it's pretty dull. Only until the end it gets sort of interesting.
I kind of like the aesthetic of it, though.
Yeah,
like,
he was saying one of the best looking games on the Wii.
Yeah.
Actually.
It's not very good.
Yeah.
I like Sonic Colors.
Yeah, which is very good. So, yeah, I avoided those less than great Sonic titles. But it made me pick up Sonic Riders on the PS2 today.
Didn't you buy that game and go like, oh my God, I don't want it, it's terrible, or like...
I think you bought it as part of something and gave it me or something
like
that. Yeah. I used to have this game on Xbox.
Okay.
And
I'm sure you have a copy on PS2.
I do, I've been playing it. I didn't buy it.
Oh, okay.
I went to play it.
Okay.
I've moved on now, sorry.
Ugh.
I didn't say I'd moved on to Played.
No.
I played Sonic Riders today, and it was quite fun, but I've forgotten how hard it was, to be honest. I did the first two levels, and it took me several attempts to win them. And then you play as Sonic, and then you play as Tails, and then you do Knuckles. And I couldn't do that one, and I got fed up with it in the end and took it off. I knew I got slightly further when I used to have it on the Xbox, but then I got frustrated. Because, again, of the difficulty.
Yeah.
It's not an easy game at all. And,
It's interesting how that weird crow thing never appears in any of the games bar the Sonic Riders titles, isn't it?
It is. There's also a couple of other bird characters. Like, there's a bird equivalent of all the main Sonic characters. A big, beefy, like a hawk.
Yeah.
He's Knuckles' rival. And then there's a pink one who's Amy's rival. And yeah.
Okay.
But
is Tails his rival like a penguin? So it's like the opposite.
I don't know.
He's a bird
Tails
that can't fly.
Rival. I only think there's like three birds.
Which, okay.
Anyway,
yeah,
they're
Tails,
pretty angry.
Tails doesn't count.
No. It's got some cool mechanics in it, like the kind of create a little wind tunnel which you can surf in.
Okay.
Some of the characters do behind him, and then you use that to speed up. His little pit stops fill up energy, rings replenish energy, there's a boost button. it all plays very well. And it actually, on a PS2, it's quite impressive how fast it is and how much is going on. And kind of unique.
Okay.
Which I'd forgotten, to be honest. I'd kind of wrote it off as being crap.
Because I thought you were going to...
It's not total crap.
I thought you were going to throw that copy at me that I got you because you really didn't want it.
No, I really didn't because that was a game I got rid of. But as you've heard just lately, I'm starting to buy games that I got rid of.
Interesting.
That's again, scary.
It is.
Anyway, I think I'm going to stop buying so much.
Yeah, okay, I'll believe that when I see it.
Because I guess at the moment, it's like 4 days now until I'm back in the UK and I can enjoy all these eBay purchases I made over the last, I don't know how many months I've been away. So I'll have it all there then. If I buy anything after, I won't get to play it again for quite some time, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to slow down. It also come to the end pretty much of the Worms and Lemmings collection, so...
I'm sure you can find more of them for obscure formats that no one's cared about for 10 years. Don't worry, Tom.
There's a couple of things I don't have, right?
Any copies of Lemmings for the N-Gage?
No, unfortunately not.
That's a shame.
there's one for the Lynx in there that's quite expensive, which I would pick up if it was a reasonable price.
If you came across it.
If I came across it. I won't buy Worms on the Super Nintendo because I can't justify spending the money on it.
Yeah, because that's fair enough. Not,
I don't really like Worms on the Mega Drive, and it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah, from what I remember, it's pretty ropey. To be honest, we never had a PC when I was growing up, but I remember playing Worms and not really thinking it was that much cop until I played it on the PS1.
Oh, really?
So I can't remember the version on the Super Nintendo being that great.
You can use a mouse, I think, which is quite nice. Yes. I do have a mouse for Super Nintendo. So
as does everyone who has a Super Nintendo to play Mario Paint.
Yeah. But it costs just under 20 for the cartridge alone.
Yes.
And then slightly more for a box copy. In fact, you wouldn't buy an unboxed copy because the box copies are just only slightly more.
Yeah, exactly. Super Nintendo crack does be crazy.
Really, yeah.
Speaking of Super Nintendo stuff, I bought a Super Nintendo game for the first time in a long time.
Yes, take it away.
I bought a copy of Dino City, which is...
Dinocity.
Yes, Dinocity, if you're going to be dramatic, which has the best cover of any Super Nintendo game I've ever seen.
I think you should share that with our
it's pretty cool.
Listeners.
I'm going to call this episode Dinocity, just so you can put that as the artwork for this. Just so
call it Dinocity.
Dinocity, yes, I will.
Or something.
Dinocity, okay. It's essentially, as you will see on the thumbnail now, a dinosaur in a leather jacket, wearing sunglasses... palling around with a kid on a skateboard and a backwards cap, and they look like they're having a laugh in a desert.
Dinosaurs are cool.
Dinosaurs are cool.
If Jurassic World proves anything, dinosaurs are still cool.
Exactly. I need to Photoshop. Actually, you can do that for the GIF. You can put Chris Pratt doing the hand thing in front of these two people. There we go. I'm doing your work for you. It's a good game. It's by Irem, which is why I purchased it after playing it last weekend at... said gathering.
So what was that like?
Gamers.
It was like, hey, it's a great game. You've got to play this. Dino City. Ever heard of it?
Well, no, it was because we were talking about old games we used to play as kids and like what we were playing when we were on the forums and stuff. And I was kind of saying how I'd moved over really much to like Game Boy games and I was playing stuff on the Wii U and PS4 and all this and discussing the price of things. And Martin, the guy, said, oh, I have an emulation machine kind of thing in the living room made up of an old Xbox. And I was chatting with him and his girlfriend Nell was talking about the games she used to play as a kid because in Hungary, she's Hungarian like my girlfriend Marta is, she's saying in Hungary games are very expensive and so her father would buy her games whenever he was out of the country and it would just kind of be whatever landed on her pile of games that her dad had bought her that he thought looked cool or quirky would be the thing. And Dino City was one of those.
He thought, this looks quirky, I'll get
exactly.
it for my
daughter.
He's
got a dinosaur and a leather jacket and sunglasses on it. Of course it's going to be cool.
I like that idea, that he picks up quirky things.
Yeah, pretty much. she got I think it was because she said she had the Barbie game for NES, and she kind of hated it. She said it's one of the most pointless games in the world. Mm. But I think...
this looks cooler than the Barbie
yes,
game.
Yes, exactly. But it's good. It's a platformer by Irem. Same people who made Hammer and Harry, and obviously R-Type and the like. Very good, very bright, very colourful, looks amazing on the Super Nintendo. Not released in PAL formats, but in NTSC, which is what I got a box copy of for a very reasonable €30. €30 for a box copy.
That's good for a Super Nintendo game.
That's good for a Super Nintendo game. They were like carts for about 15 euro, a little bit less. But I just went on eBay and said, okay, here's a box copy for 30 euro. It looks really nice. So,
well, here's a box copy for £13.
For £13?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Complete box, £13.
Son of a bitch. Is that with bids? Or is that buy it now?
That's buy it now.
Motherfucker. Okay.
Oh,
seemed like
look
a really,
at that.
Seemed like a really good deal at the time. That's probably in better nick than my one is as well. That's a bit shit. Anyways.
Sorry, Matt.
Stop gloating, you bastard. Buy it. Buy it. Buy it. Buy it. Buy it. Buy
no,
it.
No, I can't buy any more games. Don't be silly.
Yeah. Okay, I'll wait.
It's quite
until
good considering someone. Oh, the European copy there is expensive. £32.
Oh, I didn't realise it was a European copy. Anyways, sidetrack. Very good game. Look at John Tron's review of it, which is what everyone's watched and keeps quoting when I say, oh, I bought Dino City. Everyone's like, oh, you watched the John Tron video?
Yes, I watched that.
I don't like John Tron. Yeah, Thomas just mouthed, I don't either. I'm getting him on record.
I watched a couple. Actually, some are easier to stomach than others.
Yes.
Some are unbearable.
I think
Aquaman one, I could not
watch. I think the newer ones are better than the older ones for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, it's a good game. Pick it up. I also made some Japanese Game Boy purchases, believe it or not, Tom. I got a game that we've talked about and you've giggled at many a time for the Game Boy, Japanese.
Wiggledy Piggledy.
No, Tom.
I made that up.
It's a game called Booby Boys.
Booby Boys!
See, that was the reaction I was hoping for.
Booby
from
Boys!
What
do I do if I type Booby Boys into Google?
I would type Booby Boys Game Boy.
Booby Boys.
There's also a game.
Is it Booby like that or Booby IE?
Booby B O double B Y or B O double O B Y. It's got a Y and a B. I don't know how it's spelled Booby. It's Japanese. Mm-hmm. But there's also one called Booby Kids for the Famicom. I wouldn't Google that because you'll do.
No, thank you.
You'll do certain times in prison, I guess. Looks like a very cool game.
Booby Boys.
One
there
of the highly rated Japanese only titles, top down shooter. An isometric viewpoint. Looks really nice. I got the sequel to Hammering Harry, Hammering Harry Robot Factory, which is a very good game. I played a little bit of it the other day. And I also got the sequel to Snoopy's Magic Show, which, as you know, is a Game Boy game I'm quite partial of. So I saw them both boxed for under a fiver each and said, I'm having those. But our Booby Boys is a loose cart because I've been waiting for one to crop up on eBay for a long time.
Say that again.
Booby Boys. There we go. That's our booby quote for the podcast.
It's alliteration, isn't it?
It is.
Booby Boys.
Sounds cool.
Wow. So yeah. You've been buying the one retro... No, you've bought some Game Boy games. I don't count Game Boy games because I just... You know, you do that every week. So.
I do, yeah. I actually bought a lot of Game Boy games today.
It's like you should stop counting. I should stop talking about Lemmings games or...
Yeah, we should just kind of include like... As a prefix at the start, like
I bought some Lemmings.
This is how many
games,
Lemmings
it.
Games I bought. This is how many Game Boy games I bought. I'm almost to the end now.
Yeah, you're like me.
Well, yeah, but you know, there's
your task has been substantially bigger than mine.
Yeah, but there's a slight level of insanity that's different for both of our tasks.
I bought a Lemmings on 3DO for nearly £50. That's kind of insane.
Yeah, but like that's a version of a game that you already own. Like, there's insanity to that, but there's also insanity to saying like, hey, I want to own every Game Boy game. That aren't mutually exclusive, but are kind of on up there on the crazy train, as it were. Mm. We're both on board, Tom. Ozzy's driving.
Do you know what I've been doing? I've been watching these game room videos.
You have?
And getting scared by them. Scared by them. And I'm wondering why, in a lot of cases, why you'd want to own every game for a system. I know you're doing it on Game Boy, but these people who have you know, multiple systems on every game.
Yes.
Even the tripe. But like you do.
Yeah, well, like...
But they have a much bigger, you know, collection.
And they don't all fit in like an A4 binder,
which
fits nicely on a shelf.
So these people have entire rooms and wow.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I'm impressed by it or a little bit like...
Well,
meh.
It's kind of... I say this self-mockingly because I'm also in this same vein. It's like... Good for you. You had the time and money to collect something.
That's what you think about mostly, the money.
Yeah, like, that's all it is.
But then
like,
a lot of these people are collecting years ago when the prices were cheaper. They've massively collected over 20, 30 years.
As were we, you know? Like, all of my Super Nintendo games, bar things like Dino City that I pick up every now and again on a whim, were bought before Super Nintendo in prices went insane. Same with like PS1 games. Like, if I didn't pick up a copy of Psychedelic in a cash computer for 50 pence, do you think I'd have a copy of Psychedelic 2? No, I fucking wouldn't. That game's like 150 quid, which is insane.
It like, seems to be the cool thing to do. I saw one particular game room video where the guy, I think he's quite famous on YouTube. He's Australian. It's a channel called Beat 'Em Ups.
I have not heard of him.
He's got long hair and earrings and kind of swishing his hair back a lot. And you know,
yeah.
Kind of wearing a tight t-shirt and his nipples are erect and all this.
Yeah. Okay.
Just happened to notice.
Interesting.
He just seemed a little bit full of himself and a little bit like, yeah, this is my guy. I've played Pokemon for 2 years now and I've got all these. That's a rare game. That's a rare game. Look at that.
There's like a weird fascination with owning rare games. And like, I get it to a certain extent. It's just like, yeah, look at this. I've got this thing that not a lot of people have got. But at the same time, like, if you've paid 200 quid for the fucking privilege of owning that game, like, that's not an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Like, if you happen to come across a game in a flea market, or if you, like, have owned it for years since you were a kid...
I think, to be fair with this guy, that's what he's doing. He says he doesn't buy off eBay, so...
Yeah, but, like, he's still buying from people, surely. Yeah. If he's been collecting for 2 years... There's a very, very slim chance that this guy has happened across
things. He does do a Game Chaser style show. In fact, it's kind of like a carbon copy of Game Chaser.
Okay.
But to my money, it wasn't as good,
yeah,
to be honest. But what the point I'm trying to make more so is that it's becoming fashionable. Retro games are becoming increasingly fashionable.
Yes.
And I feel like, oh, damn, my thing is like fashionable. These like hip guys with their... long hair and boyish charms, you know, stepping in on my nerdy territory.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it makes me a little bit uncomfortable, I guess.
Well, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, it is a thing. It's like vinyl records having a resurgence. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
People want to own these things, not because they have any connection to them, like people like ourselves. They're curious, and in their eyes, they see all these people on the internet who are collecting retro games, and they say, hey, that's a cool thing to do. Like, go on forums like Retro Collector, which I'm a member of. You will see people on a weekly basis posting, like, hey, I want to get into Super Nintendo collecting. Where can I buy cheap Super Nintendo games? It's like, well, you kind of can't, because there's people like you now coming and collecting
stuff. How many people are, you know, doing it to jump on the fashion track? I don't know. It seems like people are to me, but I can't imagine too many people without a passion... would, you know, go collecting these.
People do. Like, and I'm not saying these people who want to collect the bad things. Like, everyone wants them because they're generally good games. They're a discussion point. They are more interesting in my eyes than what's coming out now, which is why I started collecting Game Boy in the first place. That being said, like, it's always talked about on, like, Pat the NES podcast, and these people will come in, they will buy a load of games at inflated eBay buy it now prices because they know that that's a rare game and they will post it on a forum going like, yeah, bought a copy of Little Samson, isn't that amazing?
Oh, yeah.
And then like 3 months down the line, they'll get no fulfillment out of just buying a copy of a game for 300 quid and go, why did I buy a game for 300 quid? And then they'll sell it and they'll go, well, if I paid 300 quid for it, someone will pay 320. It's a vicious cycle and that's why prices are inflated. It's also the fact that people like us, who have these games, know how much they're worth, in inverted commas, and then we're like, I'm not fucking letting that go for less than 30 quid. This game's worth 60. which is why I've still got copies of Separation Anxiety, which makes no fucking sense, because I don't care.
You still have Mega Turrican?
I got Mega Turrican, yeah.
I saw that on the eShop, on the Wii eShop.
Yeah.
I thought about picking it up. Pretty good.
You should.
Cheap.
You like that game.
I like that game. You didn't like it.
I don't like that game.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic, and they're becoming ever more popular, I think.
They will, and I don't think it's really going to go away.
Is it going to be Sega next? Why is Sega not as cool as Nintendo?
Sega's going up in price.
Yeah.
Sega is starting to get that way, which is why I'm kind of reluctant to let go of my copy of Separation Anxiety.
They were always, for me, cooler. I have more of an attachment. I see a lot of these game rooms which are like all about Nintendo, or this is my Super Nintendo collection, it's the one I like the most, and I think, well, for me, it would be the other way. It would be Mega Drive, it would be Sega, it would be
You see, there's...
A lot of these Americans...
I was going to say, that's a subtle difference. Nintendo was a lot bigger in America than Sega was.
I say these Americans, I don't mean in drug
treatment. I mean like the Americans you watch on
market,
YouTube. But it's interesting, because like over here, like in America, like if you watch these video game years and stuff, none of them really played Master System games. Like these are an afterthought because they weren't as popular. Like in Europe, especially like Spain and Portugal, like Master System was fucking huge. Yeah. No one played Nintendo. Like it was just about
the new thing because
being in the market. And it will be because it's affordable. The same thing is eventually going to happen with Japanese games. I'm not going to be able to buy like complete in-box copies of games that I really want that are quite obscure for £5. Because everyone will go, shit, those Japanese games are really cheap. They don't require you to know much Japanese.
What
and then
shocked
they buy
me
them.
Was that Lemmings Two Tribes, the Japanese Super Famicom version, is quite expensive.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just assumed it was released in a limited quantity and there wasn't that many about, but it's fairly pricey.
Yeah.
Where I just expected it to be cheap.
No, well, like, you see, the subtle difference is things like copies of Chrono Trigger and copies of Final Fantasy VI and these RPGs, they used to be dirt cheap. You used to be able to buy a box copy of Final Fantasy VI for about £3, like, buy it now. It's worth about 20, 30 now, because people are like, oh, it's Final Fantasy VI. They just want to own it. Like,
kind of like me wanting to own a Super Famicom version of Lemmings.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you could play a Super Famicom version
that's
of Lemmings.
It's over the
there's no language barrier there.
It's also cheaper. That was my main thing. And the box art was different slightly.
So yeah, exactly. And that, I think that's what it comes down to. People like box art.
I do like box art, yeah. It's a big part of it. Phew. Yes.
Games.
I mean, just touch on a couple of other things I've played. Actually, one thing in particular.
Okay.
This week. Drive Club is now available on PlayStation Plus.
Oh, really?
It's the Drive Club edition. So it's not actually the full game.
Oh,
wow. It's a selection of races.
So they actually did that thing they were talking about releasing at launch then?
What is that?
Because this was supposed to be... Drive Club was supposed to come free with your PS4.
Okay, yeah.
It was supposed to be the first PlayStation Plus game, is that they would have a Drive Club version.
This is it.
Fuck, they finally released that. That's interesting.
If you're a PlayStation Plus member, you can download it now. And let's face it, probably most people who want to play online, well, they'd have to be PlayStation Plus members now. So I noticed quite a few friends on PlayStation are playing Drive Club. I see it's going to be a pretty cool thing, I think.
It's interesting, because from what I understand, that game's not great.
I've played it, and it's... It's fun. The handling for me took a little bit getting used to. It's still a little bit tricky.
Yeah.
But it's a thrill. It's fast paced and the graphics are nice. They're not actually. I don't think they're amazing.
Yeah.
I wasn't blown away by them. I thought, oh, it kind of looks like a PS3 game, but not in a bad way. You know, it looks very nice. I find it fun, but very challenging.
It's interesting that they're not giving away the full game. I guess they can't. I guess they need to have a foothold in the market because Project Cars is doing so well.
There's one... This is, I think, a worthy competition for Project Cars, actually.
But I think from all things I've heard, Project Cars is a much better experience. Like,
I wouldn't knock Drive Club. I don't actually know why it's got the reputation of being bad because from what I've played, it's actually pretty good.
Well, I think it launched broken, which I don't think helps.
Yeah, I think there wasn't a lot on launch and they've refined it and fixed it.
Yeah, but
now,
like this
and
was,
now is the age.
This was a launch title. If you look at the back of your box for the PS4, it says that this is coming out.
Yeah.
Like, I remember having that really grim moment when I bought my PS4, remember? And I said, like, three of these titles that are on the back of the box aren't actually coming out because it was like that and Watch Dogs and something else.
But if you want to upgrade your copy Drive Club and access everything, it's going to cost you £20.
Fuck you, Spony. You should have done that for free. Like, at this point, a year and a half after you promised, you finally released it for free, you should have just given people the full game.
It's slightly cheaper than buying a physical copy. The retail price of physical copy is about 30, so you save yourself about...
Because it's not a great game, and not a lot of people are playing it.
I don't know, I kind of like it.
Okay.
But I need to spend a little bit more time with it. There's enough there in the PlayStation Plus version to keep you busy for a while, and for you to be able to make your mind up whether or not you think it's a good game.
Interesting.
But there's little challenges as well throughout the... As you do a race, it will say... It was like Burnout Paradise. Someone got this top speed at these points in the track. Try and beat that. So there's lots of little incentive littered across the game.
I'll give it a try. I don't like racing.
I know you don't
games,
like...
Though,
you don't,
so
you're not
going to
be convinced.
Mute.
But it's actually challenging. You know, people call it an arcade racer, but I think it's more in line with Forza, to be honest.
Really?
Because the handling isn't that easy to pick up.
Interesting. I would have thought it would have been more like a Ridge Racer or something like that.
I don't think so. I think it's got more depth to it.
Okay.
And because of that, it's a rewarding experience. Drive Club.
I'll give it a go. I don't know if I'm going to like it. But...
I filmed myself playing it using the share button. If you head over to blastprocess.com, check out the playlist Tom Plays. It's where I regularly, nearly on a weekly basis, post a video of a game I've been playing that week. I posted Drive Club and Worms Battlegrounds.
Yes.
This last weekend. So check it out. See what you think there. Like look of it. You can do far worse than download it.
Yeah, it's free.
It's free.
Okay. What's coming out, Tom?
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
Spin me a yarn of releases.
We've
new games that you're not buying.
Worms World Party Remastered didn't come out.
Really?
It was meant to come out on the 7th or 8th of July, actually. Didn't come out. Shame, there's a bug found in the game right before it's released.
That's a shame.
I don't think it's been released yet, but it should be soon. Can't play it anyway because it's a PC game. I don't have a PC.
That's a shame.
Well, I have an old PC in the UK.
Is it not on like PS4 or...?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
It might be eventually. What else have we got coming out? We are The Vanishing of Ethan Carter for PS4.
Yes. This is a prolific PS... it was on PC, I believe. It's like a short mystery game that billed as one of the, you know, like the quintessential, like, this is next gen.
Real good scores here.
Yes, it's supposed to be a very good game. I would not mind playing The Vanishing of Ethan Carter. I've heard nothing but good things.
A couple of games were Luck Slinger for the for the PC and the Mac.
What's that?
Luck Slinger.
I've never heard of that.
I'm not sure. It sounds a bit like Muck Slinger. It's like some sort of retro-style cowboy game.
Okay.
Deception 4 for PS4, PS Vita, PS3. Some anime-style...
Deception thing is... remember the... Yeah, do you remember? It's actually been released. This is an updated version. Do you remember the game Trapped for the PS2?
Yeah.
That is a deception game. You lead people into a maze of horrors and you kill adventurers.
Oh, I see. Journey's getting released on PS4 on the 21st of
Thank
July.
Thank fuck. I've been waiting for that game to come out on PS4 for a long time.
You can also buy a physical copy with Flower and Flow. Again, just on like PS4. On the PS3.
I might get that. I really like Journey.
Yeah. You already have Flow on PS4.
I also have Flower.
On PS4.
Depends how much it is.
But that's the physical copy. It just comes with them. I don't know if it comes with the soundtrack as well for Journey. I know it did on PS3.
Yeah, it depends how much it is. I might buy that, actually.
The Journey. There we are. Victor Vran. Don't know what that is. That's a PC game. Coming out the 24th of July. Cradle for the PC. The Swindle for the PC. They're on 25th and 28th of July, respectively.
And then it's coming out on other formats later.
On the 29th. Other titles to look forward to in July. King's Quest for the Xbox One, PS4, Xbox 360, PS3, and the PC.
Remake of a classic Sierra game, or at least the franchise.
But actually, there's not too much going into August either of any note, particularly.
Summer drought.
Unless you want to play Zombie Vikings.
Who doesn't?
On most formats. Yeah, actually not very exciting releases there.
Well, I'll pick up Journey. I've wanted to play it for a long time. I started playing it on your PS3, but I was informed by everyone I should probably wait and play it on the PS4 because I'm not going to get the Journey experience of random people helping me out because it was long past the sell-by date then.
I don't think the big games start getting released till September.
No, they don't. And that's when the summer season starts ramping up.
Yeah, Mad Max, Metal Gear 5.
Don't spoil it. Don't spoil September, Tom. Oh, it's only July.
I'd just say Mad Max and Metal Gear 5 and leading on to the usual football games.
I say this in the most haunted ways. I'm really, really considering buying the Metal Gear Solid 5 PS4.
Really? What's it look like?
It's nice. It's really nice. So much so that I'm considering buying it, even though I already own that console.
Don't do it. Don't do it, Matthew.
Oh, Tom, just look at it. Just look how nice that console looks. Like, if that would have been there at launch, I would have got it in a fucking heartbeat.
If they released a Lemmings PS4, which I doubt they would, I still wouldn't buy it.
Tom, wait until you look at that console and how nice it is. I want to hear your reaction.
Oh, it's red.
Yes.
That's my reaction.
Yes, it is.
It looks like a book. It looks like an encyclopedia.
It does, but it's Metal Gear. Look how nice it is. It's red with little bits of gold on it. It's got the Foxhound logo on it. And the controller's like camo.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
You can't really see.
It's nicer than the Batman one. It's a bit more unique.
The Batman one sucks. I really dislike the Batman one. See, it's got a Foxhound. It's got a Diamond Dogs logo on it, sorry. Like, oh, it's such a... I want it. I don't know if I'll buy it, though. It'll probably be more expensive than a regular one, and I'm like,
nah, I think you should resist that one.
I probably will. I'll probably regret it later down the line.
Be a good boy, Matthew, and resist it. But look at that as one in the flesh. Oh.
Yeah, it looks pretty nice. Anyways, you can find us on various podcasting media. I know, it's because I'm like, oh, twitching, I want to buy it. You can find us on various podcasting media, such as iTunes and Stitcher, if that's still a thing. And also tommatattack.com/podcast and blastprocess.com. While you're in iTunes, Thomas, what should people do?
They should rate and subscribe.
A cheeky rate and subscribe would be more preferable. You can find us on Twitter,
Comment.
Tom is holding the reins of firmly and going, yeah, yeah. And that's why you've had so many Twitter updates recently.
I did one last weekend. We're not doing a podcast this weekend. That was my Twitter.
That's nice of you.
I like to be functional. Yeah. You know, just, you know, if I need to say something, I'll say it.
You're like almost like a corporate social media account. You only need to address the things being addressed.
Yeah, I don't just post.
You don't care about people, everything. You care about results.
It's kind of like I am in life.
Yeah.
You know? If I don't feel it's funny enough or relevant enough, I won't say it.
Yeah. Not unlike your Twitter account at Tom Parry Loves Lemmings, where it's all lemmings all the time. God, you need to create that Twitter account now before this episode goes up.
All the time.
All lemmings all the time.
I did join a lemmings forum.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure the four people on there are very
nice. And I can't wait to get home, get my collection, take a photo and post it on the lemmings forum and go, look at that.
Yeah, that's a lot of lemmings, isn't it? And you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TomAmattAttack.
We should
none
address
of this frivolity.
Address the big thing. That we're not going to have a podcast for a few weeks.
We're not. This will be a summer drought of podcasting as well as games. Because Tom is going to the UK and I'm going to be extremely busy. So I haven't really got a chance to go out and talk to people like I usually do over a summer gap.
Yes. As of next Friday, I'll be in the UK for 3 weeks. So that's
3 weeks. Well, we'll record one hopefully early for next week. But we'll see how our schedules go.
We'll see.
It might be a month of
I wouldn't like to promise it, to be honest, because it's reasonably busy last week there.
Yes, I know. We'll see how we go. If we do, it's a bonus. If not, then we apologise.
Yes, but we hope you have a lovely gaming summer if we don't speak to you before the end of our respective summer holidays.
Yes. Maybe I'll drop a podcast in between. I'll see what I can
drop
do.
A podcast.
I'll see what I can do. Until then, games.
What's your favourite summer game?
Yes, let us know on Twitter. What's your favourite?
Go on, you tell me.
This ain't nothing but a summer game. I don't know.
Okay, for me, it'd be something like Super Mario Sunshine, Dead or Alive, Extreme Beach Volleyball.
Oh, games that take place in the summer, right? I get you.
Or Outrun 2.
Mount Your Friends. That seemed like a really sunny background on there.
Wave Race.
Yeah, Wave Race will do me. Okay. Right. Have a lovely summer, folks.
Yes.
Game on.
Game on.